Final sentencing verdict form, count two, murder in the first degree after deliberation, Alexander Boyk. We, the jury, do not have a unanimous final sentencing verdict on this count, and we, the jury, understand that as a result, the court will impose a sentence of life imprisonment without the possibility of parole on this count.
Woo! News with Nick, Saturday morning edition. We are checking up on the breaking news. Batman shooter. Let me start the timer. Batman shooter sentenced to life in prison because the jury was like, we can't decide what we want to do. Let's go back and listen to that. Actually, we're not going to be going back. This is still playing. It's still...
Count four, murder in the first degree after deliberation, Gordon Cowden. We, the jury, do not have a unanimous final sentencing verdict on this count, and we, the jury, understand that as a result, the court will impose a sentence of life imprisonment without the possibility of...
Unfortunately, we only heard four of the 24 counts being read, so it's a little up to, like it's a cliffhanger. They cut it off the video at four. I think that the jury had to technically go through every single count and say, on count five of murder, we can't find him that we want to give him the death sentence, so you'll give him life in prison. On count six of murder, we can't find out that the death things, and you give him life in prison. Chat says, NWN is short, niggas with news or something. Okay. That's cool. So, James Holmes, Batman shooter, this ends it. He's going to jail with his orange hair, except he doesn't have orange hair, and he hasn't had orange hair for a long time. And he's going to jail. But they don't want to sentence him to the death, because then we just do appeals all day long. Anyway, welcome to News with Nick for August 8th, 2008, actually. It's crazy. 888 across the board. Andrew and Puke are at a racing event again, where they go to an airstrip and they just set up a bunch of cones. Now, my one dream is to have an airstrip and roll a basketball and see how far it goes, or a bowling ball or something. Because that's like, I've never, you go to a gym and you're like, I'm going to throw this basketball. And you throw it, and it bounces on the ground, and then it hits a wall. And I always go, I wonder if there were no walls, and I had a flat surface, infinity distance long, how far would that thing go? I bet you a bowling ball would go for, 50 miles if you threw it. What's going to slow it down? Like, little pebbles? But it's in this hypothetical situation, there's, no pebbles. It's just a flat gym floor or whatever. I don't think a airstrip is a flat gym floor. But what if you had a flat gym floor? If I had one wish, like a genie was like, Nick, I'll give you anything you want. I'm gonna be like, I want a gym floor that just goes to infinity. But I don't know how that would exist. I'd have to be like another dimension, or to just jump into the gym floor dimension, like in the Matrix. Espresso D says, have you seen the video of the basketball thrown with a backspin down a dam? Yes, everyone's seen it. It's not that exciting. The basketball just curves, basically, as it falls. I thought he should have put a lot more spin on it. Like, you've got one basketball to throw down a dam, and he's just going to go like, I'm just going to put a little bit on it. No, he should have been like, he should have put a lot on it and seen if it would spin just up and like loop back to you. And then once I saw that, I started watching videos about boomerangs. Can you believe boomerangs? People just throw that thing, and it loops around, and then they catch it. One-handed, no looking or something. And like, yeah, easy, boomerang. I don't understand how that's a weapon. I feel like if it hit something, it would stop looping back. But maybe if you hit, a bird, and it was light enough, it would just hit the bird and then carry the bird back, and then you'd catch it, and you'd have bird for dinner. What was I going to say? So, Puke and Andrew are racing. They're setting up cones on a airstrip or an abandoned minefield or something. What the? I have an email. Oh, big deal. Oh, 70% off with today's deals at Staples. And they were like, Nick, you should come. And I said, I should come. That would be fun. And I said, how far is it? And they said, only 8 hours. And you only have to skip 2 days of work. And I go, what? That sucks. So I didn't go because it would be fun if I could be like, okay, it's starting at 4. I can teleport there using my special gym floor dimension. Jump into the gym floor, jump out of the gym floor, back into racing dimension. And be like, cool, that was a pretty fun event. And then I jump back. But the thought of driving for 16 hours in one weekend is like, eh, might as well go to Michigan again. Right? And they're only going one state over. That's the insane thing. It's like, okay, we live in New Hampshire. This event is in Maine, but it's at the furthest part of Maine that you could ever get to. I don't know why you'd ever have an event there. Probably because there's an abandoned airstrip, right? Because there's only abandoned airstrips in very remote locations that no one wants to go to. I think they're right next to Newfoundland. Right before Newfoundland was found, it was like, oh man, this is like lost land. And then they were like, oh, now it's lost and found land. No, that's stupid. Let's get into the news. Did you guys hear about... Where are we going to start? We already covered James Holmes. Oh, speaking of theaters and insane men, did you guys hear about this? Tennessee movie theater shooter armed with a pellet gun and a hatchet. A gunman who arrived at a suburban Nashville movie theater armed with a pellet gun, a hatchet, and pepper spray had been arrested for criminal assault and had a history of mental health issues. The assailant, named Vincente David Montano, 29, died Wednesday, less than an hour after he stormed the complex. Gunshots were heard at, well, let's just see what the video has to say.
Metro Nashville 911, what's the address of the emergency?
The Hickory Hall Cinema at the Antioch Dollar Theater.
That's what happened.
So I was in the movie theater, like, literally a minute or two ago, and this guy, this shady-looking guy stood up with, like, two bags, and he walked towards the back of the theater.
It doesn't seem like such an emergency. Like, if you're like, you know, I was just in the theater. Like, it was just a couple minutes ago. I was getting a Coke. I was getting a popcorn. I was getting myself a cold pop. And then I was like, someone's barbecuing. And then I was like, oh, no, it's a shady-looking guy with a hatchet.
This shady-looking guy stood up with, like, two bags, and he walked towards the back of the theater, and he pulled out, a hatchet and started attacking this family, and then he pulled out a gun, and we all ran out of the theater.
Shortly after one of them.
He pulled out a hatchet, then he pulled out a gun, and then we just all ran out. Oh, he started attacking this family. Right, I missed a step. Pulled out a hatchet, pulled out a gun, started attacking a family, and then we were like, good luck. Bye.
Today, as you know, two of our officers were working a traffic accident on the street just behind me.
This is horrible audio.
And two citizens came out running to them, telling them that there was trouble in the theater, that a person was there in a threatening manner. They immediately ran to the theater, put that information out on the radio. They were joined by a third officer. They immediately made entry. One of the officers actually engaged the suspect. There was an encounter. He saw a gun come up.
What an idiot. I'm not going to even listen to this man anymore. Okay, so let's read down the thing. Police spokesman David Aaron said that at 7:45 p.m., in a 7:45 p.m. press conference, that the suspect had been arrested on an assault charge in 2004. He had also been reported as a missing person on August 3rd. So, it's another insane, and somehow he got a hatchet. Well, I guess you can get a hatchet at any Walmart or any fair. But he got a hatchet and then a gun, and he completely failed at hurting anyone. I saw one headline that said, no serious injuries in Tennessee attack. Suspect dead. I'm like, okay. Guess there were no serious injuries. So that happened. Everyone loves going to theaters. I went to a Panera corporate event. Oops. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. I went to a corporate event of a company that normally sells bread with chicken on it. And they also have salads. We get to, it's being held at this farm, like in the next state over. I get there. We get out, obviously. We get out of the car, obviously. It's not a drive-in theater. I'm an idiot. We go to the we go to the check-in spot, and the lady is handing out like wristbands for all the people. This is like a corporate event for this corporation, like a corporate event for the corporation for all of New England, basically. So we go up, and she's like, "Who are you with?" And we say, "We're with Pantera." Pantera Foods. And she's like, "Okay, here. Here's your wristband. Here you can get free golfing. Here's your play card for the arcade. And there's free food in the tent." And we go, okay. They didn't even check a list. I could have been anyone just driving into the farm going, "Yeah, I work for this company." Or, "I'm a guest of someone who works for this company." Yeah, the audio on that clip is worse than News with Nick. Oh, that's mean. He's talking about that cop talking. So we go to the event, and we get free burgers. This is a day after I got free hot dogs at that other event. So this is a weekend that I'm all over getting free hot dogs. And then you get $10 of free playtime in the arcade. So I use that up playing that basketball game where the basketballs come down and you throw them up into the hoop. And I love that game because it's fun. But sometimes you score like 20 in a row and then you look down at the scoreboard and it's like, "You have 5 points." I'm like, "I wasn't even counting correctly." Saw a video of an Asian man playing that game. He's playing it with both arms like a robot. Reaching down, picking up a basketball, throwing it in. Reaching down with the left hand, grabbing a basketball, throwing it in. Perfect. Every single ball going through the machine. Amazing. Anyway, so I use up my $10 and I go, "You know, they didn't even check our IDs when we came in. We could just rip off the wristband, go back and say we just got here, and get another $10 in the arcade." Nick, always thinking of ways to steal from big corporations, I guess. So you get free, it's an entertainment area, so they have driving range, they've got mini golf, they've got bumper boats. We didn't do bumper boats or mini golf, because by the time we got over there, it was like the line for bumper boats or mini golf is like a mile long. Like, I'm not standing in another line after that Renaissance fair. But the line for driving range is not that bad. Now, I've only been to a driving range once before in my life, and I was like 8. So you get a bucket, a literal basket of golf balls, and you pick a club. I don't know what the different clubs are. Club Med, Health Club, I don't know. And so you pick up a golf club, and you go and you stand on one of the tees, the tee areas. And then you try to hit a ball, and you go, "Kung!" Oh, I think I just ripped my headset out. And then you try to hit the golf ball really far, and you miss, like, 5 freaking times in a row. And you look around, and you're like, no one saw that. And then you realize the actual proper way to do it. And I was able to hit that golf ball pretty far. But here's the problem. I hit, after by, like, 15th ball, Colleen's like, "Yeah, you beat the game." I'm like, "You're right. I'm hitting the golf ball very far. It looks cool, like it's going way over the thing, getting close to the 200 sign. I don't know 200 watts. I think it's yards. It didn't always fly over the 200. Sometimes it, like, if I hit a line drive or something, it would bounce and then go past 200, it seemed like. The point is, I didn't know how well I was doing in comparison to other shots because there's no screen, there's no little GUI that pops up in my eye that goes, "Bloop, you hit that 215. Congrats, you've unlocked a gold medal. If you want to play more, please pay 99 cents for a bag of gems." So I was like, "Yeah, I mean, this is pretty fun, except I don't know how I'm doing, and that's kind of upsetting." So, don't know how we're going to solve that. I guess they have virtual, like, driving range things. And then, So I'm done driving ranging. I go over to the beach volleyball area, and I'm standing there like a little black child whose mother has dropped him off at the park with no friends. And I'm just watching the volleyball game. I'm going, yeah, I should definitely be playing some volleyball. So they finally say, hey, you want to play some volleyball? I'll get out. And it was like this fat lady. She's like, I don't want to play anymore. So she leaves. I join volleyball. And I'm so good. By the way, the way they're doing this volleyball thing, I don't think they're using official volleyballs anymore for recreational things. They've fashioned this like volleyball that's soft and it doesn't hurt your hands. I remember back in my day when I was a 12, you'd play volleyball and your hands would be bleeding after like two hits. But I think they've engineered this softer volleyball for recreation. It's really cool. It makes it a lot funner. Anyway, the point is, I play volleyball for like 7 points on one side, and then the other side's failing, and my side goes, hey, you want to trade players to make it fairer? You take that guy. He's really good. And they point to me, and I'm like, what? I'll go wherever. So I switch sides, and I end up losing on the suck side. But the problem is, you got to cut off all those Panera girls. They're like, oh, it's coming to me. And you're like, no, you're going to miss. Then you hit it back over the fence. Let's see. And that was about it as far as the party. That was pretty fun. Boston, no longer. I don't know if you guys even knew they were trying, but they are no longer trying to bring the 2024 Olympics to Boston. Boston's bid to host the 2024 Olympics is over. After months of robust debate about whether hosting the Games would be good for the city, local organizing group Boston 2024 and the U.S. Olympic Committee have decided to drop the effort. According to Twitter, blah, 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 have jointly ended the campaign for Boston to host the 2024 Olympic and Paralympic Games. Paralympic? I've said this before. You can't have Paralympic Games. That's like having Olympics for superheroes, only the reverse. Like, they're super unheroes because they're missing legs and arms, but everyone has a different superpower, right? Like, how do they make it fair? How can a man with two legs fight against a man with one leg, but the man with two legs has, like, no pinky or something? I don't know. Anyway, the guys with no legs have the advantage because their legs won't get tired. They just turn on bionic leg mode and they run their 500 mile. And they're like, I win. I'm the best. I'm like, no. You just bought those. That's cheating. You can't just buy your muscles. That's what Lance Armstrong tried to do. Blackman went on to say that Boston 2024 believed it could, with more time, generate more public support. Oh, my goodness. But that the U.S. Olympic Committee was running out of time to consider a bid from another city. So basically, someone in Boston said, let's try to bring the Olympics to Boston. That'll be cool. And everyone else in Boston said, no, 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 no. We do not need the whole world. A, we don't need to pay for building a stadium to host one event. B, we don't need the whole world coming here, clogging the city for 2 weeks. Because most of the time, these things are built, and then they're like, well, we got famous, and we have these cool event things. Like, we have an Olympic-sized swimming pool now. What should we do? Like, I don't know. Charge the kids a buck and they can come swim in it. So that is over. We will not be having the Olympics down the street from me, unfortch. But not that unfortch, I don't think. This is kind of old news. Is this still going out correctly? Yes. Zimbabwean officials, there is an American man wanted in killing of Cecil the Lion. You guys knew about this, so let's hear what this video has to say. Oopsies. I'm messing up, like, not as much as normal.
Well, Anderson, the details are still coming in, but it's alleged that Walter Parman, this dentist from Minnesota, was in Zimbabwe on the border regions of this park, and that him and the guides lured or baited this lion, this iconic lion, Cecil, from Hwange National Park out of the park, and then he shot him with a crossbow. But that crossbow didn't kill the lion outright. They tracked, according to conservation officials, that lion for 40 hours and then killed it with a weapon of some kind, and then they severed the head as a trophy. Now, the officials say that they're looking for this individual from the U.S. who is allegedly killed this lion, and they say this is both illegal and horribly tragic because it was a huge tourist draw for the country and certainly, at the very least, unethical to bring a lion.
In June 2015, Walter Palmer, an American dentist and recreational game hunter from Minnesota, reportedly paid $50,000 to a professional hunter and guide, Theo Bronkhorst, to enable him to kill a lion. Cecil was allegedly lured out of the sanctuary where he was shot and wounded with an arrow. So I hear that he was lured out of, I don't know what it counts to be like a sanctuary. Are they like, okay, you have a little fence here, this marks the sanctuary. And how do they keep the lions in the sanctuary? Who knows? We'll never know. We're not African. We don't care. Cecil was allegedly lured out of the sanctuary, and I heard that they taped, like, a deer to the top of an SUV or something and then just, like, drove it slowly out where the lion was like, deer, and, like, chased it. Shot and wounded with an arrow. So basically, I guess the dentist was like, I got a shot. Boom, I got it. I hit it. Who knows where? Probably in, like, the butt. He was wounded with an arrow, and then he was tracked, and 40 hours later was killed with a rifle. So the people who were paid $50,000 were like, he shot it, but it didn't die. We better go get it. So they chased it down and shot it again with a rifle. He was then skinned, and his head was removed. Ooh. When his headless skeleton was found by park investigators, his tracking collar was missing. Zimbabwean national parks have stated that neither Bronkhorst nor the landowner on whose property Cecil was believed to have been shot had the appropriate permit for a lion. So even if you had a permit, are you allowed to shoot permits? Are you allowed to shoot lions from sanctuaries with trackers on them? Or are you just allowed to go shoot any lion? Who knows? Blah, 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 blah. There's reporting that the Zimbabwean hunt guide, Bronkhorst, declared that we had obtained the permit for bow hunting. We had obtained the permit for the lion from the council. So I think that there's probably not that great of, like, communication. It's like, they didn't have the license. No, 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 we had the license. And then they go off to their tent or their wigwam. And, I don't know, they hide and peek out and hope that no one's coming. Who else is here? Espresso D, just you and me and our host. My Ustream app is screwing. I guess I cannot see the guests. Yeah, we got no one. Ustreamer 46351 says, we are still here, though. I don't know who we is. Thanks for coming to the morning edition, guys. I think this is going out on the free side. I'm not sure. If you're getting it on Ustream, you're getting it for free. If you're not watching live, by the way, you need to be checking the Facebook. You need to be subscribing to the Ustream so that you get an alert when it goes live. I usually turn it live at least 15, usually 30 minutes before we actually start the show. And you need to be watching because you're missing the visuals. Like, look at this amazing picture of Cecil the lion. He's now watching over us because he was shot. Someone painted him in the form of, like, the Lion King. And we're like, Cecil the lion. Cecil's killing went largely unnoticed in Zimbabwe. So in the country that he was killed, Cecil's killing went largely unnoticed. People were like, oh, I haven't even heard of Cecil. And by the way, his name's probably not Cecil in Zimbabwe, and it's probably Cecil B was Cecil B. The countries The country's newspaper wrote, it's not an overstatement that almost 99.99% of Zimbabweans didn't know about this animal until Monday, and now we have just learned, thanks to the British media, that we had Africa's most famous lion all along. The lion's death has not registered much with the locals. So Americans really need something to... Oh, my nose started running. So Americans really need something to get upset about. So they're like, there's this man, Walter Palmer. Let's look up some images of Walter Palmer. Walter Palmer.
Walter Palmer, a smile.
So here's this man. Oh, here's a good picture of him. That's the worst picture I've ever seen of him. Smile. Sorry, that was a very small picture. Here's a better one. So we've got Walter Palmer up on the screen. He's just looks like a balding man, but somehow being a dentist makes him a billionaire. He's not a billionaire, actually. He is a millionaire. So here's some information on, oops, nope. Let me go over to the news side of things. News. I heard his house is worth $1.1 million. Home of Lion Hunter Walter Palmer, dentist who killed Cecil, is vandalized. So people are mad. So they have found his house. They have decided that this play button does not do anything and that they're just going to put a video here with a play button that doesn't do anything. That's stupid. Let's go over to another news site. Lion killer Walter Palmer's Florida vacation home. Vandals spray-painted lion killer in an upscale Florida vacation home that is owned by the American dentist who killed Zimbabwean's best-known lion. The damage to the home of the Minnesota dentist, blah, 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 is being investigated as a misdemeanor criminal mischief. So they went to his garage door and they painted lion killer on it. Because when everyone's mad about something, it's right to turn to mob mentality and go be insane on him, right? Who cares? He's rich. This is obviously not the first time he's done something like this, where he pays someone $50,000 to go over to Africa and hunt something. I'm pretty sure that his first trip to do something like this was not like, yeah, I think I'm going to go and kill a lion. How about that? Walter Palmer.
Hunting history.
Let's look it up. Activists are calling for Walter Palmer's extradition, so they want to send him back over to Zimbabwe to face charges. To face charges for killing the lion. Ooh, here's an opinion piece. Why allowing trophy hunting is good for endangered species. We're not going to watch that. So,
question of peanuts.
It's a shrimp.
Oh, my goodness. So if you care about the counter argument, go ahead and look up that, because I'm not going to read that. Let's see what the chat says. Walt should have fed Cecil a mix of iced tea and lemonade until he died. Then people wouldn't be sure if the lion was killed by Walter Palmer or Arnold Palmer. I don't get it. I think it's like that. Is that like a type of tea? He would have gotten away easier if he had paid for hunting humans. That's true. Coney 2012. People are more mad about Cecil the lion than Coney 2012. So yeah, we don't like Coney 2012. I think that was his name, right? My name's Coney 2012. And I have 2012 black children that I train as my child army. No one cares about that guy anymore. And unfortunately, people soon as a mass won't care about Walter Palmer, or maybe not unfortunately. Wait, I have to finish my thought first. But the fact that he may never have a dentist practice again, because anytime he tries to start up a dentist practice, the media is going to be like, it's Walter Palmer, he's setting up a dentist practice. Don't go to him. On the other hand, cheap dentists, right? Like, if no one wants to go to Walter Palmer to get their dental work done, I feel like now it's like, well, I'll pay you like $5. Can you do my mouth real quick? Ooh. Crap. Don't cut that. Don't cut that out. And feel like he's going to have to cut prices to bring in more customers. You know what? He probably won't. He's a millionaire. He'll probably just retire and be like, whatever. Or he could secretly be a consultant for other dentists. If I'm a dentist, I'm like, Walter Palmer, how do I become a dentist as good as you? I'll meet with you in secret and we can do each other's mouths and you can teach me things. Oh my goodness. Okay. Walter Palmer killed a lion. He wasn't a billionaire, he was a millionaire. Millionaire. He was either a good dentist or he just figured out how to game the dentist system and be like, yeah, you're an old lady. You owe me $500 for me looking at your mouth. My dentist is like $40. Not $40 for the whole thing, it's $40. It's like $80 for the lady to clean my teeth. Spend like 45 minutes with me. It's $40 if the dentist comes in and says hi and looks at my mouth for 2 minutes. Pretty good deal being one of those dentists. And the way I base everything else on, like, I don't think dentists really know what they're doing. I understand that, like, yeah, I can see your teeth and they probably know more about teeth than I do, but do they know that much more? Like, how much can you know about teeth? There's the tooth, there's the root, there's the gum. And there's, like, the top coat of the tooth. And it's like, okay, you learn those things, you're suddenly a dentist, and you can be a millionaire? All right, whatever. Let's see. So we have this news story where there's a man. Let's pull up the news story. Video captures Channel View man rolling under train. It's a video that will make your heart stop.
Be on the lookout.
A man is caught on camera leaping across the train tracks under a moving train. When I see him cross to the other side,
mile at a time.
Crap. Here's a quote from a witness that says, when I see him cross to the other side, the people on the other side were surprised too. They say, look at that guy. He's crazy, you know? Okay. So instead of reading the actual news story, because it's real dumb, I'm just going to play the video. Because we can do our own news here. So here's a video of... Oops, how does that look on the... That actually looks fine. So let me turn up the audio.
Hey!
So I'm going to go back.
Hey.
So it's a cell phone video from inside a car. And there's a man that's standing right next to the train who's whizzing by. And he's doing a little dance. He's adjusting his shirt. He's laying down. He rolls under a car, and then he rolls out from under the car, like, before the tire hits. Right? So he doesn't... What I was expecting someone to do was, like, roll under and then, like, sit under for a little bit, like, between the tires, and then wait for the train to come over him a bit. Because people do that, too. They just lay down in tracks and are like, yeah, well, I'd like to feel the power of the train going over to me. So he rolls under, and then he rolls back under before the next tire comes. That was a close call. He probably misses him by 2 inches, basically. So now he's doing a little dance. He's waiting for a new option to come, a new hole for him to run under. And then cars are honking at him, so he points at the car, and now he's walking over. Oh, no, he's not. He's looking for a new spot to jump under the train. He's looking. Cars are honking at him. They're like, stop it. I don't want to see blood. All right, now he's coming over to the car.
You fucking my water. Hey. Hey, put your fucking order.
I don't understand. Are they Mexican? Maybe he's saying, you know you're insane. That's not going to work if your pants aren't pulled up.
You lie, you fucking my water. Hey. Hey, put your fucking order.
Okay, people are still... Oh, he runs under. He runs under. That was so close. So, he waits for one tire to go by. And he just guns it. He just jumps under, and he's through to the other side of the tracks before the next tire hits. What an insane person. Ah! Oh, anyone who saw that on the live stream was like, we do not want to watch that video. Yeah, new video came up. Okay, so that is the actual video from a man jumping under a train. Now, we'd covered this before, and I've actually not done a good job of getting the most up-to-date information here. So I'm going to do a quick Google search. Ooh. All right. So, we covered on the show Jared Fogle. I don't know if it was on this show or I'm sure everyone's talking about it. Subway man. I lost all my weight walking to Subway and back, is what he said. And new information concerning the pornography investigation to former Subway spokesperson Jared Fogle has come to light. In 2008, Fogle was dating a Subway franchisee. He was dating a Subway franchise? Like, yeah, I love Subway so much, I am just going to be dating this building. Yeah, I know. That's not how it works. Espresso D says he forgot to steal anything before going through under the train. Yeah, you gotta steal some old lady's wallet and then you run under the train and you're home free. It's like getting to the other state. Or shoot a cop and then just go under. And you're like, no, you can't get me. And then the train is done running. If I had one wish, it would be a train infinity long in every direction. No, shut up. In 2008, Fogle was dating a Subway franchisee. And Business Insider broke the news that the FBI had subpoenaed text messages between he and the franchisee from 2008. The FBI believes that within the text messages of the franchisee. This is annoying. To the lady, right? Fogle admits to paying a 16-year-old girl $100 for dental work. According to the FBI report, Fogle asked the Subway store owner to post on Craigslist for sex so he could watch her engage in sexual acts with men who responded. Ooh. So he is going out with this girl. He's like, you know, we should go on Craigslist. You should look for sex on Craigslist and I can watch. What if you showed up at this lady's house that you met on Craigslist? Show up. Normal Craigslist meeting. You've got your rope. You've got your guns. And you go in, and Jared from Subway is just sitting in the corner going, yeah, that's a pretty good veggie delight. He supposedly offered to pay her $500 per act. So he was going to pay his girlfriend. Again, they say he's dating the girl from Subway. He was going to pay her $500 per act. The Business Insider reported that the woman's text response was, is this the same website you found that 16-year-old girl that you fucked? First of all, she's talking like, is this the same website? Are we still streaming? I got like red. It says red that I'm streaming at 0 kilobits per second. That does not seem like a good sign. Okay, well, anyway, the chat will tell me if we're screwed up. So he says, go on Craigslist and post. And she says, is that website that you met a girl? Like, she doesn't know what Craigslist is. Maybe she's never been on the internet. And he says, is that website you found the 16-year-old girl that you fucked? I still can't believe you only paid her $100. He allegedly sent a text back stating, it was amazing! She is then reported to have asked him what part of her ad made you think she was selling sex, to which he replied, you have to read them to see. He's a pro at this Craigslist thing. This is making me nervous. Crap. Okay. So we're going to do a break real quick. Wait. Is it coming back? Your choppy video is, but the audio is. Why the heck is... So what's taking all my... What's taking all my stupid stuff? All right. I'm going to stop the recording real quick. We'll be back after I stop, after I come back and fix, see if this stream gets fixed. Okay. One sec. Woo! We are back. And that this is now the second half of News with Nick. I don't even know. I'm going to start the timer again. The stream just went to complete terrible, so we stopped. Freed up some resources. I got to buy some more RAM up in this thing. If anyone wants to buy me some RAM, you'd have to know exactly what kind I need and what size I want, so don't even bother. I should use that $15 gift card. You know what? I'm going to order some freaking RAM today. I've got 6 gigs of RAM. You buy a new laptop at Staples, it's already got 8 gigs. It's already got more than what my computer that was brand new is like, oh my God, 6 gigs of RAM. Holy crap. So if I got some new RAM and I got an up-to-date video card, because my video cards were state-of-the-art 5 years ago, we're going to be back in white. According to the woman's... So we were talking about Jared Fogle, who was texting a woman he was dating. So there's 2 girls in the situation. There's the girl that he's dating that's a franchisee. What does that mean? Like you're a franchise owner of Subway? I don't even know. I guess it must be, right? What else could it mean? So she's a franchise owner of Subway. Isn't that weird, though? You're like, yeah, I'm Jared from Subway, and I'm just going to date someone. Like, I thought he was just doing ads for Subway. No, he's all the way in. If you know what I mean. So, in April of 2008. Well, actually, this is News with Nick, 8-8-2008. So, in April of 2008, Fogle asks her, wait a minute. Hang on. I gotta scroll up. The woman allegedly had the text messages recorded by a court reporter directly from her phone, and this is the one he was dating. She had the report witnessed and verified by a notary public. Business Insider independently verified the authenticity of the affidavit and that the phone number which sent the text had been registered to Fogle. The following are the texts recorded from the woman's phone in 2008 as reported by the affidavit. So this all happened in 2008. Why does it take 7 years for something insane to come to light? Like... what else is going on? Like, has Bill Gates been having sex with a bunch of sevens for 10 years and we're not going to find out about it until tomorrow because it takes that long for things to get around? I guess if you're rich, you have a way to shut this whole thing down. Like Bill Cosby, who had some court stuff go down and no one really even heard about it until recently. Fogle asks her on text, this is a text, how young would you like? Would you like to have an adventure like that? Okay, no response. Unless, well, there might have been a response, but that's not in the report. So we only have the stuff that made it to the report. He writes again a couple days later. When can we find a time for me to talk to your cousin? The next day, no response. He says, any more news with your cousin? Tell me what you think of when you think of the three of us all together. In June, according to the woman's attorney, he asked her to advertise herself on Craigslist. She texts back, is this the same website that you... Oh, we already read that part. Is this the same website you paid that 13-year-old girl... Or six? Sorry. Sorry, that was over the line. That 16-year-old girl that you fucked, I still can't believe you only paid $100 for her. He texts back, it was amazing. So it's like in a movie when you're trying to catch someone, it's like, I type, I can't believe that you robbed the Miraculous Bank on 5th Street on June 7th at 10 a.m. What made you want to do that? And he texts back, yeah, I did do that. That's cool. Like, gotcha. No other information is contained in the Fogel pornography investigation. So here's... So what... So there's still not... It's still not clear why Jared Fogel's house was searched for child porn. Now, we do have some information that, like, another Subway worker or board member or something is already facing charges, and maybe they tied Jared back to that information and they wanted to search for evidence of one or both of them. It is kind of unfortunate that it's like, yeah, not unfortunate. It's kind of like bad luck. It's like, no, it's completely legal to pay $100 to have sex. Well, it's not, but it was. She was a 16. She was legal technically. And then it's like, but you have child porn, so I don't know. Well, Jared Fogel in big danger. If you go to your local Subway, his face is taped over with duct tape in the window because they can't afford new posters because they still want to display him holding the Veggie Delight out to you. But it's like, we really don't want Jared's face there, but we still want you to see the sandwich.
Subway Jared poster.
He'll be standing out there, or maybe it'll just be a picture of him in the window holding his pants and how much weight he lost, but it'll just be, like, taped over. It's like, this is a man that lost a bunch of weight eating Subway. We don't know who it is, though. So he's pretty cool. Ustreamer 44641 says, I have 24 gigs of RAM. I can't believe people still can only use 8. Well, here's the thing with RAM, if we want to get into technical computer things. Aren't most programs, like, the limit, the bottleneck at a certain point is not how much RAM your computer has, it's how much RAM a program is able to even use? Because I feel like... Like, no matter how much RAM I have, Smite is still only using 1.2 gigs. I don't know that it would use more if I added more RAM. And if it's not using it, does it matter? I guess you can run more things simultaneously, but is it going to vastly improve if you're only running one thing at a time? I don't know. I'm not a techer. But yeah, I should order some RAM, guys. Here's the thing. I'm scared to take my computer apart. Because if I, like, bump something and it breaks it, I'm like, oh, no, I killed my child. That is the news with Jared. You guys want to get into some presidential stuff? I do. Hey, I just realized last week that I didn't even know this. Jimmy Carter is still alive. And he could run for president. And let's see here. Jimmy Carter. Oops. Ex-president Jimmy Carter shuts down electoral office in Venezuela. Well, that's weird. Anyway, so Jimmy Carter, he's a president. He was president before the man named Ronald Reagan. And he's like 90. And... He only served one term, so technically he could be like, yeah, I'd like to be president. What would they do? Would they be like, okay, let's nominate him. So that would be so amazing if they took like a president from like 30 years ago and like, you be president again. I mean, they are pretty much doing that. Right, guys? Clinton versus Bush again? What is this, 1993? That was me hitting my chest. That was over the line. But, yeah. Oh, what is this? 1993. We got Star Wars coming out. We got Jurassic Park. And we got Bush versus Clinton. Oh, no. It's a blast from the Back to the Future. Okay. The chat says, no bleep. Is he really 90? Yeah. Go to Wikipedia. Born October 1st, 1924. Okay, so we just had a debate, right? So in America, how we pick our president is a bunch of people from the R's get together. It's like divisions in football, so, or divisions in basically any sport. You fight amongst your division first, and they're like, oh, the best in the division goes into the world championship and faces the big ones. So we've got our Republicans that a whole bunch of people have gone, and they've started to throw themselves into the Republican nomination pool. And so they all fight against each other, call each other the idiots, and they're like, no, I really want a Republican to win, but you suck. Like, you're the worst, and I'm the best Republican. Please nominate me. And it doesn't have to do with what the party wants to do. It has to do with what the voters vote for, I guess. And then the Democrats do the same thing, but in the Democratic side, it's basically like, it's going to be Hillary or it's going to be Bernie Sanders is basically what, and it's probably going to be Hillary is what they're saying. So there, I don't even know how many debates are going to be on the Democratic side. Nobody's really paying attention. So the Republican side, there's so many presidential candidates that Fox News just had their debate and they said, well, there's so many of you, we have to split you up into the cools and the not cools. So they have 10 guys that are allowed to go on at prime time, and they say, you guys are polling the best. You have the best chances of all of you. You're the top 10. And then they took like 7 more, and they said, well, I know you're in the race, but you kind of suck. So you go on at 5 p.m. So they put some on at 5 p.m. and some on at, it was like 8 or 9 p.m. I think 9. And center stage of all of the Republicans is where they put the guy who they think is leading, like the one who should get the most attention. But it's kind of weird. It's like a snowball-y effect. Like, you're leading, so you get center stage, so you get more attention, so people pay attention to you more, so you're leading more. So it's like, the more you lead, the more you lead. Kind of unfair, right? They should do like a switcheroo, where it's like, if you're leading, you don't get any time. We're going to give time to the people who don't lead, and then we'll make it a close race. Wouldn't they want a close race if you're the media? Not if you're News with Nick. If you're News with Nick, you want the guy at center stage to be the one who was center stage, Donald Trump. So, Donald Trump is a rich businessman. He runs casinos. He runs buildings. He runs, I don't know. All I know is that there's a thing called the Trump Tower. I don't even know what's in it. Maybe he just rents it out to like a massage therapist or something. The point is, he's not a politician. He's involved in politics, and he actually admits it. He's like, yeah, I love being involved in politics, and you have a broken system. All I do is I basically just pay politicians, and they do what I say. And no one says anything. They basically say, good point. Next question. Like, if someone comes up and says, I buy politicians, and your system is broken, shouldn't everyone be like, yeah, you're right. It is broken. This sucks. Nope. Everyone's just like, yeah, you're right. I guess we knew that. So I guess everyone knows it and no one cares. Let's listen to what Donald Trump had to say at the Republican debate. And I'm delaying while this ad finishes playing.
Liberal policies. You've also donated to several Democratic candidates, Hillary Clinton included, Nancy Pelosi. You explained away those donations, saying you did that to get business-related favors. And you said recently, quote, when you give, they do whatever the hell you want them to do.
You better believe it.
So what specifically did they do?
If I ask them, if I need them, you know, most of the people on this stage I've given to, just so you understand. A lot of...
No one else can say that on this stage. No one can be like, yeah, I've supported... They could say, I've backed you on this issue, that issue, blah, blah, blah. No one can say, like, I've made massive donations to your campaign in the past. And Trump is just like, here I am. I've been backing you from the background for years. Here I am, center stage, leading all of you. To me, this is an epic picture right here. No one sees this if you're not on the stream. This is a wide shot of everyone on the stage and Donald Trump at the middle of every Republican. It's so amazing.
Ask him if I need him. You know, most of the people on this stage I've given to, just so you understand. A lot of money.
Not me.
Not me.
But you're welcome to...
Everyone's going like, oh, not me. You didn't pay me any money. I want to speak up because I'm sitting on the side. Look at Chris Christie right here. I can't believe they put him there. Like, he's basically blocking the view of everyone else. If you don't know, Chris Christie's one of the...
Give me.
Chris Christie. I love eating Crisky. Why does that sound like it should be like, oh, because Crisco. Chris Crisco. Oh, has anyone ever said that before? So anyway, let's just go back to the debate and making fun of Chris Crisky and how he is blocking everyone.
Many of them.
Actually, to be clear,
that's
he
right.
supported
not,
Charlie Crist.
Not Mike. Hey,
Charlie,
but I have.
Donald, if you
I have.
They're all yelling. They're like, stop. Okay, stop yelling. It's hard to pay attention. Like, so three people have been like, you haven't paid me. And Donald Trump says, yeah, you're right. I haven't paid Mike Huckabee anything, because who would?
Hey, Charlie,
but I have.
Donald, if you end your campaign, I hope you will give to me.
Good. Okay. Sounds good. Sounds good to me, Governor. I will tell you that our system is broken. I give to many people. Before this, before 2 months ago, I was a businessman. I give to everybody. When they call, I give. And you know what? When I need something from them, 2 years later, 3 years later, I call them. They are there for me.
So what'd
and
you
that's
get?
A broken system.
So what'd you get from...
No, everyone's just skipping over this fact that he just said, I pay politicians off, and then I call them, and they do whatever I say. And it's broken. Like, it's benefiting him, but he's coming out and saying... It's broken. Now, I don't trust Donald Trump at all. I'm not one of these people who are like, yeah, Donald, he just says it like it is. He doesn't give an S, which it seems like that's what's happening, right? That's what it looks like on its face, but you never can tell, right? Is he playing that game so well that he's tricked everyone into thinking he doesn't care, and really, he's playing it better than anyone?
They call, I give. And you know what? When I need something from them, 2 years later, 3 years later, I call them. They are there for me.
So what'd
and that's
get?
A broken system.
So what'd you get from Hillary Clinton and Nancy Pelosi?
Well, I'll tell you what. With Hillary Clinton, I said, be at my wedding, and she came to my wedding. You know why? She had no choice because I gave. I gave to a foundation.
See, he dodged the question. He did a politician there. They said, what'd you get from Nancy Pelosi and Hillary Clinton? She came to my wedding, right? That's funny. He did a dodge. Don't trust him. He did a dodge. He's still hilarious, though. We're voting for him because we need this to keep. We need it to be down to. We need it to be like down to three. We need as much airtime for this man as possible. Because it's getting good. Every single day, you turn on the news and you're like, Donald Trump said something else incredible. Here's him being approached on. Here's him being approached on during the debate. Oops. On how he calls out women, right? And they had the lady tell him.
You've called women you don't like fat pigs, dogs, slobs, and disgusting animals. Your Twitter account
only
is
Rosie
several...
O'Donnell.
No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't. Only Rosie O'Donnell. No, it wasn't.
Your Twitter account
only
is
Rosie
several...
O'Donnell.
No, it wasn't.
Man,
called...
everyone loves it. Everyone finds it hilarious. I don't understand. I do understand. That's the difference between us. In that everyone else on this stupid stage, Jeb Bush is the worst of them. Jeb Bush goes... Donald Trump, I want someone on this stage to win, and Donald Trump is not going about it the right way. He's being divisive. He's being immature. I'm Jeb Bush, and I am the formalist man on this stage. So why does he hate Rosie O'Donnell? This goes back many years, and I don't know if this was the first one. The first time this happened, but this was way back, I think, when Donald Trump was running, and maybe he does still run this Miss USA pageant, which is different from Miss America, as I understand it. Like, Miss America's taken? Well, I guess we'll just call it Miss USA. And he, like, disqualified a contestant for taking nakeds. And so Rosie O'Donnell goes on TV and starts making fun of him.
Looping, going, everyone deserves a second chance, and I'm gonna give her a second chance.
After making fun of him, Rosie has some choice words for the Donald today.
He's the moral
authority. Left the first wife, had an affair. Left the second wife, had an affair. Had kids both time, but he's the moral compass for 20-year-olds in America. Donald, sit and spin, my friend.
Well, Rosie is...
Oh, my goodness. Yells at the Donald, and then they cut over to Donald Trump responding to what he has to, what she has to say.
My friend.
Well, Rosie is a loser. Rosie's been a loser for a long time. Her magazine failed. She got sued. She folded up like a tent. It was too bad.
The Donald came exclusively to Access Hollywood today to get his side.
Rosie is somebody out of control who really just doesn't have it. And she ought to be careful because I'll send one of my friends to pick up her girlfriend, and I think it would be very easy.
Rosie accused the Donald of taking advantage when he filed for bankruptcy.
People beneath him, who he owed money to, got shorted out of the money, but he got to again try again and again. And you know what saved him the second time? After his father died, with that money, he paid off all his bankruptcy.
I never went bankrupt. She'll say anything that comes to her unattractive mouth.
He's been saying that for years, and they pointed this out in the debate. So just to be clear, he keeps saying, I've never gone bankrupt, but corporations he's set up have gone bankrupt, and that's what people are saying. Yeah, but and he's like, yeah, but businesses go bankrupt sometimes. You take risks, sometimes you lose. I don't know if he's right or not.
A lawsuit, get ready. This is going to be good.
I'm going to sue her, and I look forward to it.
I don't think he ever ended up suing her, but that would have been funny. So I can't wait for it to be Donald and Hillary, and it's just Donald on stage versus Hillary, and he keeps going, you're a fat loser. Look at your stupid hair. Well, she could say that to him, I guess. But here's the thing. Donald Trump, I don't think anyone, okay, not anyone, I don't think 99.9% of people on Earth are ever offended. Okay, that was too broad of a statement. What am I trying to say? Everyone tries to pretend, I'm Jeb Bush. I gotta be all formal on stage. This is what America wants. No, I think that that's what he thinks America wants, and I think that's what some people want, only because other people, oh, they think other people want it. It's this paradox where you're like, I think that that man wants me to be formal, but that man wants me to be formal because he wants someone else to think that he wants me to be formal. No, no one wants that. Everyone wants Rosie O'Donnell jokes. Everyone wants 9/11 jokes. Everyone wants people to just be funny and for cats to be running around. No one is like, man, I had a whole lot of fun dressing up and going to a meeting and going to a debate and talking to people respectfully and standing up for the pledge. That was the funnest thing I've ever done. No, you just stand up for the pledge because who knows why. Espresso D from the chat says he's going to say, Hillary, I want my money back. Yeah, he's basically going to say, the only reason you're standing on stage is because I paid for you to be on stage. You know who I hate? Chris Christie. We were talking about him earlier, and I don't hate him just because he's fat, so. He did come to the area. He came to the town I live in, and I forgot about it. So I was biking around, and as I'm biking past this bar, I'm like, why is there a CNN truck out front with a huge satellite dish? And why is there a whole bunch of people hanging outside the bar? Oh! So I stop, and I can't see Chris Christie, but they have him hooked up to a speaker for people outside because people inside can see him, but people outside can just hear him. And he really loves that 9/11 happened, and he's still doing that. He's still like, yeah, I'm the governor of New Jersey, and I was in New York and 9/11. So here's him at the debate where him and Rand Paul are fighting over the Patriot Act and NSA surveillance, and Rand Paul, to his discredit, he also says something pretty stupid. He's like, yeah, go hug Obama again. Yeah, that's not a real point, right? But then Chris Christie makes an equally stupid point based on 9/11 emotion. Let's hear it.
And that's what I thought to end. I don't trust President Obama with our records. I know you gave him a big hug, and if you want to give him a big hug again, go right ahead. And
ooh, you gave Obama a big hug.
Go right ahead.
And Senator Paul? Senator Paul, you know, the hugs that I remember are the hugs that I gave to the families who lost their people on September 11th. Those are the hugs I remember. and those had nothing to do with politics.
What an idiot. Let's go back. Watch Rand. If you're watching on the stream, watch Rand Paul's stupid face here and how he's like, he's basically like, that point again.
Go ahead, go ahead.
And Senator Paul? Senator Paul, you know, the hugs that I remember are the hugs that I gave to the families who lost their people on September 11th. Those are the hugs I remember. And those had nothing
like,
to do.
Whatever.
And those had nothing to do with politics. Unlike what you're doing.
No one cares. 9/11.
Doing by cutting speeches on the floor of the Senate, then putting them on the internet within a half an hour to raise money for your campaign.
All right.
And while still putting our country at risk.
All right, we're going to cut it out there.
What an idiot. Chris Christie's like, yeah, I love the NSA, I love the Patriot Act, 9/11. We got it to protect ourselves from the terrorists. I did go to this meeting, and one of the questions from an old man was like, Chris Christie, I'm very scared of terrorists. And Chris Christie goes, I know. I was at 9/11. That is it for, do you guys want to talk about any debate further things? I'm looking forward to every single day waking up and hearing that. Oh no, there was one other thing. Where did it go? Wait. Oh, this is bad, guys. I'm gonna have to do a news search real quick. I'm looking forward to every day. Donald Trump. Oh, it's the top news story. This is what I'm saying. I wake up today, we've got a new Donald Trump update. It's they feed you information. And this play button doesn't do anything. What is it with me and play buttons today? Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump was disinvited from a conservative activist event in Atlanta, a decision his campaign called just another example of weakness through being politically correct. Oh, which was the Donald's example earlier when he was being questioned about how he treats women or talks about women. He's like, I don't have time to be politically correct. I do a show. Sometimes I'm making jokes for the sake of the audience or being edgy. Yeah. We don't have time for political correctness.
Some political drama. Donald Trump is making a fresh round of headlines this morning after being disinvited to a conservative convention because of his remarks about a Fox News anchor. The Trump camp has already responded. It is your voice. It is your vote. And ABC's Tom Yamas, who was there for that debate.
Stop saying that. What is this they're saying this year? Your voice, your vote.
This morning, hi.
They should be ashamed. We should not be having a vote. We are dummies.
Trump going nuclear on Fox News and debate moderator Megyn Kelly, saying he saw blood in her eyes and alluding to something else about Kelly that has nothing to do with news or politics, and it's something female voters will not find funny.
Overnight, Donald Trump disinvited from an important Republican event after blasting Megyn Kelly on CNN Tonight. One comment? Too raunchy for network television.
Well, I just don't respect her as a journalist.
Really? Are they not saying what he said on this stupid video?
I don't think she's very good. I think she's highly overrated.
Trump questioning the anchor's credibility after she challenged him about his treatment of women.
You've called women you don't like fat pigs, dogs, slobs.
I've been very nice to you, although I could probably maybe not be, but I wouldn't do that.
But the candidate quickly changing his mind, taking aim on social media, tweeting dozens of times.
Okay, you know what? This is dumb. Here's the tweet. Or here's the quote. There was blood coming out of her eyes, blood coming out of her everywhere. I just don't want someone on stage who gets a hostile question. Oh, wait, hang on. While speaking about Kelly's question during the debate Thursday, Trump told CNN there was blood coming out of her eyes, blood coming out of her everywhere. And then Erickson said in a comment, in a statement, which Erickson is one of the organizers of this gathering for the conservatives, and ironically, his name, the name of the organization is called Red State, right? So you should be happy that there's blood everywhere. Red state? Obviously. I just don't want someone on stage who gets a hostile question from a lady and his first inclination is to imply it was hormonal. This is just another example of weakness through being politically correct, Trump's campaign responded. For all of the people who are looking forward to Mr. Trump coming, we will miss you. Blame Eric Erickson. What is with people and their names? We've got Chris Christie. We've got Eric Erickson. We've got Osama Obama. Like, how many people do we need that have two names that are the exact same? Donald Trump tweeted out, he said, about that Megyn Kelly quote, you could see there was blood coming out of her eyes, blood coming out of her everywhere. I meant in her nose. Just got on with thought. I've given Donald Trump a lot of latitude because he's not a professional politician, Erickson said. It's a family-friendly program, and he's not going to if he's not going to clarify that this wasn't what he meant, then I don't think I want him at the event. So they're saying, oh, she was bleeding hormonally, and that's why she asked me that question. What a strange leap. If you say blood around a woman, is it automatically sexist?
On Friday, in one retweet, calling Kelly a bimbo. The Republican frontrunner grabbing most of the airtime on Thursday night's debate.
Mr. Trump.
Oops.
Former Florida Governor Jeb Bush working to regain his footing, speaking to supporters on Friday about what some are calling a poor performance at the debate.
I think I have a bigger, broader message that will appeal to people inside the Republican Party.
And previous underdog Carly Fiorina, former CEO of Hewlett-Packard.
No one knows who that is. She was one of the 5 o'clock people. Anyway, so how can you... this is going to be real interesting, right? So he's now said a thing that people are either taking in context or out of context. We'll find out. But are all the women going to be mad? Or are they going to be like, no, it's fine. It's just a joke. If you say about a man, like, I could see his foreskin was all wrinkly. And that's why he was upset. Like, are all men going to be like, no, you can't say that about foreskin? I don't know. Guess we'll find out if he's completely devastated his campaign by saying that someone was bleeding. Last story of the day. Tony Stewart. I think you guys remember this. He was racing his little dirt car around a track several long time ago. August 9th. A year ago. 3-time NASCAR champion Tony Stewart is being sued by the parents of a race car driver killed last year during a caution period at a dirt track event. So he was racing at this short track. Him and this other guy, Tony Stewart and Kevin was his name, get involved in a little bumpy-doo. Kevin gets out of the car like any good race driver should and starts yelling at the cars as they drive by because you're a brave man. Tony Stewart hits him. Now, did Tony Stewart mean to hit him? No. Okay. I'm 100%, I'm 99% sure that Tony Stewart did not mean to hit him. Did Tony Stewart mean to drive too close for comfort to the guy to try to scare him and then ended up losing a little bit of control of the car and hitting him? Probably. So here's a clip from 1 year ago.
Tragedies I've ever had to deal with, both professionally and personally.
Wait a minute. Look at this.
This is something that will definitely affect my life forever.
Hang on, we need to zoom in. So he's doing a news conference.
Been one of the toughest tragedies I've ever had to deal with, both professionally and personally. And this is something that will definitely affect my life forever.
He's doing a news conference about how he killed a guy, and right next to him on the table, share a Coke with Tony. a Coke bottle, one of those things that has the name on it. I can't believe it. Why would you have that there? That's not prim and proper and serious. You're Donald Trump if you're doing that. That's like him going on stage being like, share a Coke with Donald. And it's red, which means you're sexist. Because of blood.
This is a sadness.
They see more than this wheelchair.
I hope no one ever has to experience
They
in
see
life.
More than a pretty face.
Oh, crap.
They
What's happening?
They see more than my diabetes.
They see more than an old man. Right, Dad?
Yep.
They see more than a man who can't see.
New Hampshire Healthy Families provides access
this
to
is,
the medical,
this is so dumb. Why is there an ad playing down here
sure
on, this, on the screen?
You enroll in Medicaid care.
It's just every time. Every time we try to do a show, it's just, here's an ad, here's another ad, here's another. This is where we're going, folks. This is where we're going in the internet. It's going to be in your brain soon. You're going to be wearing Google Glass. You walk into the mall. The second you walk into the mall, Google Glass is like, oh, come to Abercrombie. Come to Best Buy. Come to Radio Shack. Come to Diabetes Center. I think you may be reading too much into the Coke bottle. Well, still, yes, obviously, it's. But why would you have share a Coke with Tony? Just sit it up right on the thing. Like, be a little serious and don't drink Coke. Now I'm Cody O'Connor. I'm anti-Coke.
The pain in the morning that Kevin Ward's family and friends are experiencing.
This is very quiet.
Is something that I.
All right, let's skip ahead.
And Kayla and Kate, a couple weeks off. All of you.
Okay, there's no news story
questions.
Here, so we're just gonna have to read it because they're just playing a. They're just playing a press conference from a year ago where he's like, I'm very sorry that I killed someone. Kevin Ward was killed August 9th after he got out of his wrecked sprint car and went to confront Tony Stewart during a yellow flag caution period. After one car narrowly missed Ward, Stewart drove by and Ward was struck by the right rear. His parents, Kevin and Pamela Ward, Kevin Ward Sr., obviously is his dad, filed a wrongful death suit asking for unspecified financial compensation. Stewart was not criminally charged. They looked into it and said, yeah, it doesn't look like you did that on purpose, we don't think. In September, blah, 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 the Ward family disagreed. In their court filing, they blame Stewart, saying he failed to drive safely as he approached Ward and that he gunned the engine, causing the car to slide into their son. Now, this is going to be interesting, folks. There is video of the event, and I'm not going to play it now, but... there is, because I don't have it ready, and I don't want to show you a man get run over by a car, necessarily. There is video of the event, and he does gun the engine. But there's going to be, like, if this goes to trial, now maybe Tony Stewart will just be like, fine, just take my money, I'm sorry, right? Just to not deal with it, because he's a rich. But if it does go to trial, what's going to happen is there's going to be, like, there's going to have to be race car experts, right, that are going up and going, why does it look like you gunned the engine right here? And you have to describe to them that in order to drive this particular car on that particular track, that the only way to turn or to adjust your positioning is to gun the engine.
They see more than this wheelchair.
So...
they see more than a pretty face.
Oh, she does not have a pretty face, by the way. And they're going to be like, well, Tony Stewart thought that the guy was coming too close to the car, so he did gun the engine because he was trying to get around him. He's trying to miss him, but he gunned it, and it looked like the car slid, and it does look like, I mean, it looks like it's on purpose, right? But I don't know that it was because that's just the way it looks. Nick, you can disable flash by default and make it work by clicking on it. Oh, well, maybe we'll try that. We'll disable flash, and then you have to click on the video to make it play so it doesn't automatically play any ads in the background. That may be something I try. In New York, plaintiffs only need to prove some fault on the defendant's part to recover damages. The jury will decide about the conduct of each person and whether it was negligent. So here's the point. There's going to be a jury. None of them know about racing. There's going to have to be, like, experts on racing coming to the stand and being like, yeah, you have to drive the car that way. It wasn't his fault. If I had to guess, it's not going to do that. Tony Stewart doesn't have time for this. He's going to be like, take $5 million. I don't care. I'm sorry that your son put his head under my tire, right? All right. That is News with Nick. That is all I have for today. We've been doing a great episode. It's been an hour and 20. If you take the first half plus the second half.
Thank you, Senator Ayotte, for fighting for cleaner air, healthier food.
And thanks for coming out to the Saturday morning edition News with Nick. So everyone except Espresso D, it's probably like 4:30 in the afternoon where he is. We're up to 6 chatters. Thanks for coming, chatters. This has been News with Nick, and Andrew and Pork are out racing cones. Hopefully they'll be getting some PCL content. If you want to hear extra content, you got to get on over to that pukeinthegang.com/VIP. Give us money because we deserve it. And you're going to be like, no, you don't deserve it. I'm like, I do deserve it. Like, do you know how much skill it takes to be watching Donald Trump while simultaneously queuing up Chris Christie? None. But I did it, and that was pretty cool, and it was almost a smooth transition, and you guys didn't even notice that I was doing that. Espresso D says, Andrew and Pork? Yeah, Andrew and Pork are out racing their cores. Puke's got a new car. Don't know if he's racing it. I think he is. Actually, I'm not sure. Maybe they took... I don't know. Didn't even ask. Coming up soon, update on Andrew's house. Is he going to have an offer put in for a house? We'll find out. Will Nick do a PCL episode teaching you about barcodes? We'll find out. Other things that are in the news. Okay, pukeinthegang.com/VIP. Check it out. And this has been News with Nick. Thanks. And catch up with you tomorrow when I do another News with... Just kidding. I might. Here's the thing with News with Nick. You get a whole bunch of news things, right? I add them to this... I add them to this little list as I find them. And then when I have enough, I go, ooh, we really got to do a News with Nick. I should have done a Cecil News with Nick a week ago because Cecil is old news. Shooting at that Cecil lion. All right. Thanks for coming out. Bye.
All right. We do have a phone call here this morning, so we'll go to the... Thank you for calling. Please go right ahead.
Hello. You were previously talking about bicyclists in Keene, and I'm both the bicyclist and driver. And the one issue I have that I think is an issue is there's a section between Winchester Street and Main Street on Route 12 or 101 where the Ashwheelet Rail Trail crosses the highway.
Yes.
And cars are stopping there, and this is a place where the cars have the right of way, and I believe it's dangerous for cars to stop there on the highway, and I think people should... stop stopping because they're seeing bicyclists or walkers waiting to cross, and I understand you want to be courteous, but that's a location that is not, it's for the cars to have the right of way and the bikers wait.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Me too.
And, you know, it has happened to me as being a biker, and I've come across there and I've been waiting for traffic, and cars will actually stop on the bypass, which is crazy. Now, what I have done myself, I've kind of avoided that area, and I usually use the bridge over by Keene State College, and I'll go over to Martell Court and go underneath. But I found if you don't stand next to the side of the road up there and you stand kind of farther back down the hill a little bit, sometimes then the drivers won't see as much and they won't stop. But I do have good news for you. The state, and through the DOT, is going to be constructing a pedestrian bicycle bridge at that spot, and work is going to start this fall with some surveying, and the actual construction is going to start next spring. And so there'll be a bridge there that'll be similar to the bridge, what's called the North Bridge, which goes over the bypass over by the Kohl's Plaza over to the Monadnock Marketplace Plaza. So there will be soon a bridge there, which will then alleviate that issue.
Much better solution.
Okay.
Yeah, but you're absolutely right. It is, if people are listening, do not stop for bicyclists there, and just keep driving.
All right,
thanks for your call here this morning.
Hung up on?